0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we continue to assess the Rangers managerial vacancy. The search is on for Russell Martin's successor. Is Gerrard the fans' favourite? Would McInnes be tempted? Dyche reportedly rules himself out. And is there another candidate out there? Elsewhere, Celtic speak out after a meeting with fans' representatives. And we're only 2 days away from Scotland's Crunch World Cup qualifier at home to Greece. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Alex Ray and Gordon DL.
Well, it's certainly been an exciting few days, Gordon. We've had absolutely everything. We've had a manager sacked. We've had late drama in two big, big games. We've had even Aberdeen winning a game and scoring a lot of goals. How we've had Partick Thistle dropping points, and you just wonder what's next.
It took them all of 1 minute to get that in.
And you wonder what's next for Rangers going forward. I heard the show last night, you could have been on to 12 o'clock, and I think we'll be the same tonight. There'll be a lot of opinions out there who should be the next manager in the hot seat.
Alex Ray, do you think Partick Thistle's home draw with Arbroath will get much of a look in between 6 and 8
no,
o'clock this
I wouldn't
evening?
Imagine. I'm trying to forget it, Gordon, I have to be honest. Time to move on. We've done our debrief this morning and we're focused on Morton at the weekend.
Okay. How did you take it? Were you animated?
At the weekend? Mm-hmm. It's the best I've been, I have to say.
I heard. Oh, I couldn't possibly tell you.
No, I have to be honest with you, I was frustrated at the weekend. It was disappointing. And
I'll tell you later.
No, yeah. Listen, the boys have done great. Expectations are high now. And when you drop a couple of points at home, then obviously
do you know one of the guys in the show on a Saturday predicted a draw? Would you believe that?
He's been saying that for weeks, hasn't he?
He's on fire with his predictions. No, I don't know what's happened.
No, I haven't. I've been backing you all the way. Well, I had to sneak it. I like it. It's going to be one of those games at Broth. So listen, you're still up there. Brilliant.
Anyway, 0141 951 1025. I suspect there is one story and one story only that will be very near the top of the agenda. The great thing is there are other things out there. We've been waiting on the outcome of that meeting between the Celtic board and the fans' representative. Celtic have issued a statement. I don't think it's necessarily blockbuster or wholly revealing. It maybe doesn't quite say that much, and maybe that in itself is something that will annoy the fans. Of course, we are 2 days away from Scotland's game against Greece, so any thoughts there if you want, but none of us are under any illusions. The search for Russell Martin's successor truly on. Yesterday it felt like it was about more reaction to the news because it broke so late on Sunday evening. Still more than welcome to do that. Your general thoughts on the sacking, whether it was right, whether it was wrong, not heard anyone say it was wrong, how long it took, how it came about, the scenes on Sunday, all that sort of stuff. More than welcome to get them over, because I know not everyone got through last night, but clearly an onus on a lot of people now to turn that into a conversation about what happens next. Is Steven Gerrard the fans' favourite? We had a couple of calls last night who said absolutely not, but I'm looking at social media. I suspect that would be the one that maybe ticks most of the boxes. Would that be fair? Because you're never going to tick all boxes, let's be honest. Derek McInnes is like the obvious on the doorstep choice in terms of someone who's doing good things and is experienced, has been offered the job before. Sky Sports reporting today that Sean Dyche has ruled himself out. We don't really know if Rangers wanted him anyway, but certainly looks like he has suggested he wouldn't be interested in that. Are there any other left field shouts or anyone else you want to throw in the mix at this stage? I think you can suggest absolutely anybody, because it's clearly very early on in the process. So get the calls into us, please. 0141 951 1025. I suppose your reaction, Gordon, because you left here on Saturday
night,
6:03, you run out that door. I don't know where it is that you go on a Saturday night, but you run out very quickly. And for, I don't know, for the 6th or 7th week, everyone was saying, oh, well, if he doesn't beat Falkirk tomorrow, he'll lose his job. But we had said that before. And then, indeed, did not beat Falkirk the next day. The rest, as we know,
it's history. It was all there for him, because you know that we kept saying it. how many games has he got left? He could never have won round the fans, Gordon. It was a, you know, it was one of those situations he just couldn't have. People were saying, well, the only way you won back fans is going on an unbeaten run. One for me, I don't think Rangers have got the squad right now to do that. I don't think they're playing good enough football. And secondly, it was never going to happen for him. Plus, after the game, you're thinking, right, international break. It's got to be. Listen, he had to be put out his misery. We're all human beings. We've been in that dugout. You've been taking it from the supporters as a manager and a player. Alec knows as well. And there's nothing worse in the world. And you take that home into your family life. It must have been an absolute nightmare for a guy. For me, he should never have been in the job. He was out his depth. It was a bad appointment for me. But he goes down to England now, he'll probably carry on his career. Who's to say that he goes to another club and successful? It just didn't work out for him, and I had to be relieved of his duties.
It ended up coming, obviously, quite quickly. Alex, I think you were on it on Sunday, and then at that point, everybody maybe thinks that it's going to happen, but by the time your head's hit the pillow on Sunday evening, it is all over.
Yeah, and it wasn't a surprise, Gordon, seeing the images of him walking across the pitch, you know, that kind of shocked us in the studio. We were looking at him and thinking, why is he getting in his car? I had never seen a manager doing that, and I'm thinking to myself, has he been told already that his time was up at Rangers? And then obviously the scenes didn't help matters, but I think over the piece, 5 wins in 17 is nowhere near what they were looking for. The board, they've held their hands up yesterday as well in the statement that came out from Kavanagh to say that, you know, they got this badly wrong, and the recruitment process is now underway. You know, it'll be a scattergun approach. People will fancy their man and so forth. I think the fans have a big part to play here, because you want to try and win them back on board as quickly as possible. Mm-hmm. I done a little kind of poll myself on the way in, because one of the boys on Radio Clyde tonight, I says, right, OK, who do you want? And out of about 15 guys, the majority were for Steven Gerrard. So he seems to be the number one candidate, partly because he's been in the post before. He knows the landscape. And he knows what the job requires.
Because that's what's going to be interesting, Gordon, about what happens next. I think let's set out the parameters first. We all accept there is no perfect candidate. How can there be for any job, never mind this one, right? So nobody ticks every box. They just don't. So you're clearly looking for the guy that ticks the most boxes and comes with the least amount of risk, whatever that is. And I appreciate that they all have some risk. You're probably more than ever needing an appointment that is perceived as being popular amongst the fans, mm-hmm. because the last one wasn't to begin with, and then it went so wrong. Does that all point to Steven Gerrard?
100%. 100%. I think the board, who are also coming in for a lot of criticism, because we heard in the show that their supporters saying, well, the people who made the decision with Russell Martin should walk as well. And they're hearing that, Gordon. They're knowing they're under pressure. So they're thinking the way Alex going on there about, they have to get something the fans take to right away. And Steven Gerrard's that man. I'm not saying he's the right man for the job. Right?
It's just like the perception would be easier for
but
everyone at the start.
What you can do as a board is you could turn around and say, right, okay, big percentage is wanting a guy. We've brought him in. We've given you what you want.
Then you wouldn't do it for that reason either, would you?
Listen, I think right now they would, right? Because I don't know, looking at the situation here, is Steven Gerrard the right guy to come back and turn it around for Rangers? That's a big question, Mark.
It's a good question. Let's bring in Zach, who's in Glenrothes. How would you sum up your feelings now, Zach? We've moved on a couple of days.
Good evening, pal. How are you doing?
First time caller. Oh, great to have you, Zach. What are you thinking?
I've been trying for weeks, but this is the first time I've
Take it away, then. The floor is yours.
Well, to be honest, I think from the start, Russell Martin was a car salesman. He promised the Rangers fans like he was going to play this high-pressing football, attacking football, and I think everybody with eyes can basically see that it was everything but that. It was slow, methodical. They just looked uncoached. They just didn't look like they knew exactly what they were doing. It looked like just 11 men on a park and who had just never actually played football together before. It was just so unbalanced.
I've now kind of looking back, I wonder if we're rewriting some of it. Of course, now we know it was a bad appointment. How else would you spin that? And to be fair, lots of people called it. They felt it was the wrong appointment and they felt too much emphasis. But he was still a guy that had taken Southampton from the Championship to the English Premier League. There is no shame in not being able to survive the English Premier League with Southampton, because that's the nature of that environment down there. Are we going overboard on sort of how underqualified he was for it? Or is that blown out of the water now?
Gordon, I actually spoke about his time at Swansea, because I played against his Swansea team, so I kind of knew the style of play that he would try and implement when he came up here. Now, he never actually managed to get that in any shape or form. Swansea team would pass you to death. They had a really good brand. I just felt as if they were fairly lightweight as a team, you know. So if you come up against a robust team, they really struggled. And over the course of three games, they never get the better of a bang average Reading team that I was involved with. So I understand, but there was a philosophy there. Dazzler, so he had a passing style playing out for the back, but he didn't even manage to get that, because he never managed to get any head of steam, any tempo, any run of wins. So I think he will still have a bit of credit in the bank down south because of the way that he played, particularly with Swansea, MK Dons, and also Southampton to get them.
Did they bring in the right players to play that way, Alec? That's what you've got to ask yourself.
Yeah, but the thing is, Gordon, he's nearly spent £30 million.
I know, but
and he's looking at that. He would have sanctioned these deals because, you know, he's not signing players that he doesn't know. The majority of them are English-based as well.
Mm. Do you think he would have been happy bringing in an 8 to 10 million striker, Chermiti, and he doesn't play him? He's on the bench. Do you think he sanctioned that? I don't think he sanctioned that at all. I look at the Rangers side. You're talking about Swansea. You're relating to Swansea there about, you know, being soft and everything. I look at Rangers. I think Rangers are the exact same. I don't think Rangers are a team that you go out there and fear. You've seen them on Sunday against Falkirk. These games that they should be getting out there, as you say, the amount of money they've brought in, what they've spent against Falkirk, who have come up from the Championship and kept the majority of the players. And they were just... They're easy to score against as well for me.
Were you always totally against it from the start, Zach?
Yeah, to be honest, I've always wanted, and that would be my next one, I've always wanted Kevin Muscat, just because I like the brand of football that he plays. And I think for the last couple of seasons, Rangers have been known to this more side-side football since Steven Gerrard, I would say, is when we've seen the actual handbrake off the team and actually managed to go at teams. And I think Kevin Muscat would definitely have done that. And I hope that's definitely my first choice to come in and take the reins now, because obviously he's I know he's not in a great league over in is it Asia he's with at the moment.
But at least, yeah.
I do still believe that he would get the respect as well, because he was obviously...
Oh, sorry, I was thinking Steven Gerrard there. Forgive me, Zach, you were right, yeah, over in China.
Yeah, and I still think... I think as well, the thing with Russell Martin is, I just don't think people... I'm not meaning this in a thing the way against Russell Martin, but I just don't think people respected him in the way that somebody who would respect somebody like Steven Gerrard or Rafa Benitez... Somebody with that clout who's got that persona about them. And I think somebody like Muscat definitely would.
Zach, what kind of style of football is Kevin Muscat playing? I genuinely haven't seen any of his teams playing, well, so I'm not aware of that.
I've not seen either. I've not watched any of his games, Alec, but all I've heard is he plays a very attacking style football brand. And he's done that with the two teams that he's won the leagues with. I don't think he's changed the style at all.
He's always sort of gone down as a follower of Ange. Yeah. That's like the thing, isn't it? And he succeeded him and Yokohama, and there's the same sort. It's that, I don't know if he plays exactly that way. I would be lying. The Chinese league is not something I watch on a Saturday evening. But I think generally that's always been the thought. There's a couple of things there. Carry on, Zach.
The only thing I'm a bit worried about now, though, is can a manager actually generally come in and get a tune out these players, or have we really failed in the market? And because Gordon was saying there, I honestly believe this team is too nice, too soft. Like, when you've got people like Alec Ray, who's in the studio, and everybody knows who remembers what Alec Ray was like as a footballer, I don't honestly see that in our team. And that's scary because you need somebody who's got that about them to drive a team. And when you look at that team now, it's a bit powder puff. In fact, it's very powder puff.
Like, no name's a bad name at the moment. I'm happy with anything, really, as left field as you want. Kevin Muscat doesn't even feel left field, Gordon, because he's been linked with this job probably in the last two vacancies, I think. As we said, there was a bit of the Ange Postecoglou factor when he came in here and successful, and Kevin Muscat was seen as a similar profile. But if anything, enhanced by the fact that he did play here and he played down in England. I don't know. What do you think?
I hate the... He's played with Rangers. I hate that. I don't.
Yeah, but see, to be fair,
for me.
I know, but see, to be fair, I don't think anyone's calling Kevin Muscat a Rangers man.
No, but Russell Martin was classed as well. And there's a lot of people out there, let's not be kiddie, Gordon, a lot of people out there when Russell Martin was given the job, there were people out shouting it was a great appointment. Same with Kevin Muscat. I think whatever or whoever comes in next, the board have got a massive, massive decision. They are under severe pressure, let's be honest. And that's why I think they will go down the safety route of bringing back Steven Gerrard.
I think he's probably the most safest at this particular time. The interesting thing for me is, and I don't want to throw a cat amongst the pigeons here, but he could potentially still be on gardening leave because of the actual extent of that contract. I'm led to believe it's something along the lines of the £20 million a year, I think.
You always talk about the tax implications and all that sort of stuff, don't they, trying to leave?
Yeah, but somebody threw that in today, gone saying that he still may well be on the payroll over there. I think it was 2023 that he actually started, so potentially that could be a stumbling block to get him back. Or does he want to come back?
What do you say about Steven Gerrard, Zach?
Obviously, right, everybody knows he stopped Celtic's reign from getting the important title. Yeah, 10 in a row. I don't know, I just don't know if it's a bit of a safe option. And there was a caller on last night that said he made a lot of bad signings as well. A lot of bad signings. He didn't get everything right. And he's not obviously done great since he's left Rangers. I know obviously he was at Aston Villa and then he went to Saudi. But surely you've got to try and keep it on top rather than obviously keep like not obviously having like great success after. And I don't know. If we couldn't get Kev Muscat, I really would like Rafa Benitez because I think that man just oozes obviously what he done with Liverpool, what he's done with other teams. I think that would be a great appointment.
Okay, thank you very much to Zach. It's 0141 951 1025. I noticed Steven Gerrard appeared on Rio Ferdinand's podcast today. Now, am I assuming it was filmed prior to Russell Martin? But it's great timing if you're Rio Ferdinand, my goodness, because people are now, there are no direct obviously responses to whether he would want to come back, but he speaks of unfinished business. And he speaks of how he thought he had the perfect blend for his staff when he was at Rangers and all that sort of stuff. Gary McAllister spoke last night and said, you know, never say never. Jermaine Defoe saying he'd love it. So you can see fans are getting excited by this, rightly or wrongly, because who knows? That's not to say that it would be a guaranteed success. So, but it's clearly picking up a bit of steam. But what do you think? Give us a call right now and we'll get you on next.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Alex Ray and Gordon Dalziel are here. Jordan is about to join them on the phones. Take it away, Jordan.
Evening, Jeds. Evening, Gordon, Dalziel and Alex.
Hello.
I just wanted, first I wanted to thank Alex for his for being such a great servant to Rangers over his time. It's been really appreciated, especially for myself anyway. But to start, finally the Russell Martin and Rangers support social experiment is over. You know, I was talking a couple of weeks ago, Gordon, that there was I thought there was a social experiment on the go. And finally, they've called an end to it. But I wanted to get on last night to make a few points. I've summed them up to try and make them quick, so I'll try and batter through them. Never in my life have I seen a Rangers manager forced to leave a stadium in a car under a police escort and not in the team bus with the rest of the players. I'm sure Alex is the exact same. It brought actually back memories of Jim Goodwin in Aberdeen at Easter Road a couple of years ago. It was like a carbon copy of what happened there. It just seemed so strange. And it was,
what did you make of that? What did you make of it, Jordan, out of curiosity? Because Jim Goodwin, it was similar in that he walked across the pitch, but not because he needed an escort or anything like that. I think it was just more he'd been sacked. So what did you make of that? Is it fans going too far?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm not going to condone the fans doing what they've done. I don't agree with it. Everyone has a right to have their say, right? We weren't getting listened to, and the boys at the game wanted their voice listened to. It might have worked, but getting aggressive, that there's no place for that in football. No place. I'm sorry. I don't care how much you hate the manager, what he's done, you cannot be threatening and aggressive. There was a duty of care, and that's why they had to do what they've done. But I believe the writing was on the wall when that happened. I think he probably told the boys, look, this is it. Because if you're not big enough to sit and leave with the boys, then I think it was obvious then that it was done.
It's not unfair, though, saying he's not big enough to do it. I mean, would you, didn't they really want...
Well, no, it was a safety.
He'd have been advised in that, Jordan.
I mean, I think it's a bit unfair on him.
I mean, it was a safety issue.
Yeah.
That's why, but I mean, I'm not saying that he shouldn't have done it, but obviously he would have been told it's a safety issue, you need to do this. But I believe he probably said to all the players, look, what's happened is done. Like, this is done, and I'm sorry. Because the writing was on the wall. He didn't... He looked dejected. He looked like he wanted out of there. He looked like he wanted the ground to open up and swallow him up the whole game. He just looked lost.
I agree with that. I said earlier in the show, you're right, it doesn't matter what you think of Russell Martin. He's still a human being. He's still got feelings. He wasn't good enough for the job. The Rangers fans wanted him out. They're quite right. They pay their money. They go and support their club. It wasn't good enough for Ranger. I totally get that. But on a personal level, walking across that park, what's probably happened, he knows the game's up. He's probably been in, had a chat with his players. The police have came to him, pulled him aside and said, look, for your safety of yourself, we have to take you outside, get out there, a car waiting for you. He would have loved to have probably, like most managers, you want to say, right, do you know what? If they're going to sack me, I'm going home with the boys. I came with them, I'm going back on that team bus. But
I don't believe that, Gordon. Honestly, I don't believe I don't think he wanted to get back on that bus. I think there's a big divide going on there, and they lost them all. That's honestly what I believe. Because if what you're saying, he would have, I believe, said to the safety team, they backed the bus into the stadium to get the players on it, so they could have got him onto the bus. It's not like they never couldn't get them onto the bus. They managed to get the players onto the bus, and I'm sure they could have kept him in the stadium till that point. I believe he also agreed, it's probably best for both parties that I leave now. Mm.
Just one man's understanding of it, and people can contradict me if they like, which is fine. I actually don't believe that he had like lost the players, or that there was a big turning against. Listen, I'd love to get maybe Nicholas Raskin's thoughts, you know, and maybe one or two others, but I don't think it was one, from what I understand, it wasn't one of those that the players were all thinking, we're not having this guy.
Well, if you listen to his pressers, he was always saying that the players were very much behind him, the staff were behind him, and he was getting encouraged what he's seen within the confines of the training ground. So, you're probably right in that respect, Gordon. What I will say is that when you look at the performance for the players, it looked to me as if they were slightly lost in what they were actually trying to achieve, because I've said for a couple of weeks now, this manager has been absolutely battered from pillar to post. He's been the number one target for the fan base, and the players have pretty much been getting away with murder here. And I genuinely believe that there's more to come from that group, but I haven't seen any of it throughout the course of the moment.
I think you're 100% spot on. I think all the focus was on the manager.
Absolutely.
Right, and okay, the manager takes big percentage, he does the team, he does the tactics, formation, he makes the substitution, I get all that, but you've got a Rangers team there, a squad with five substitutes coming on the park, the quality of the money and everything. I don't care who the manager is in the dugout of Rangers. They should be able, and I'm not being disrespectful here, they should be able to go and beat Falkirk.
Do you think the players have got away with more of this than normally happens, because the negativity, even hatred up to a point, was so pointed to the manager? Because I'm not disagreeing on it, because I don't know, But I feel like I still hear a lot of Rangers fans going, you know, there's some good players there. That's a good squad of players. Mm. Is there room to ask yourself, is that the case? Are they? You know, how good are they? Because it feels like they've, from day one, if they are underperforming, well, it's just the manager's fault.
I look at Rangers and I'm not excited with the squad of players they've got. Now, a new manager may come in and all of a sudden get that lift in the new manager
the bounce
and everything. We've seen it a million times before. But I've looked at Rangers from the beginning of the season and I don't know many games that I can sit here and say they looked in top form, they look a good side. They don't. They really don't just now. So it may be the change of a new manager and the anger and everything that's coming from the stands to the manager, that stop because the new manager will get back with the supporters and it might just lift that for the players on the pitch. But I've not seen any evidence of this squad that they're going to go 6, 7, 8 games. Yeah, I've not. Alec.
What's next, Jordan? Who's next, I should say?
Well, I'll go on to that. Can I quickly come back on that point? I don't think he helped himself by trying to oust Tavernier from the team and Chuck and Raskin, our captain and our best player. When he came in, he tried to bring Aarons and make him the captain and move the captaincy about. I don't think he got off on the wrong footing, but we'll go move on to the next manager. So obviously Steven Gerrard is who everyone's talking about and who everyone wants, but I think tax implications may become a major stumbling point with him coming back this year. But I would actually look further down the M8 and go to another Steven, but Steven Robinson. The guy knows the league like the back of his hand, makes his teams hard to beat. Most importantly, he makes his teams able to win games, and he's beaten both the Old Firm, home and away, over the past few years on a shoestring budget. The guy is a cracking manager. He just needs that opportunity. We're not going to get Derek McInnes. He's in the job at Hearts. That's fantasy, trying to get him out of that job when they're top of the league. That won't happen. If anything, Kevin Fairwell's Refer a Friend initiative is going to come right back into play and we're going to end up with big Duncan Ferguson or Sean Dyche, somebody that he was at Everton when he was there. But honestly, I would go and get Stephen Robinson.
I would be amazed, even by our standards, if Duncan Ferguson's managerial career went Inverness Rangers, with no disrespect. And for goodness sake, if of all the people you wouldn't want to disrespect. Sean Dyche, apparently, Jordan, according to reports from Sky and others, has said he wouldn't be interested. Does that disappoint you, or are you happy enough with that?
Oh, no, I'm pretty happy with that. I'll probably be quite happy if anybody that comes in has no links to Kevin Fairwell, because everything he's touched and everybody he's brought in has not really enamoured us, do you know? So I wouldn't like another link to Kevin Fairwell. I would maybe like somebody, you know, he is a left field one that Patrick Stewart can maybe get. What about Ruud van Nistelrooy? He's out of a job.
Has he got a sort of CV that excites you?
No, but he brings a stature like Steven Gerrard, and I think that's what we need. Gerrard's going to come in and be like the Messiah because people respect him for what he'd done in his playing career, right? People didn't respect Russell Martin because he'd never done much. But Ruud van Nistelrooy, he would demand respect.
Oh, listen, but to be fair, the list of managers who didn't have a playing career to speak of and are good managers is.
He didn't command respect to Leicester. They were absolutely dreadful.
Go back to his first suggestion, though, Jordan. Stephen Robinson.
Stephen Robinson. Yeah, listen, he's done a really good job.
Brilliant.
He's obviously in a semi final as well now, aren't they? So they've got Motherwell, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So they've got an opportunity to get to a cup final. But I think over the piece, he's top six,
you've been about Rangers long enough. You've been in there working the coaching.
I don't think it would excite a lot of people.
That's exactly what
I'm going to say.
And I totally get the fact that the job he's doing and he's done.
He's done a great job, and
even at Motherwell as well. He knows the Scottish game inside out. He's been brilliant for St Mirren, absolutely brilliant. But I don't think it would float the Rangers fans' boat.
The pecking order of Scottish football means that if you're at St Mirren, the next one needs to be Hearts, Hibs, Aberdeen before you're then considered for.
I think one of the big two because
he couldn't have done much more. In fact, he could not have done a better job really at St Mirren. Maybe a trophy.
I think because of the situation now, Gordon, we've just witnessed what's happened to Russell Martin. This board. To bring in Stephen Robinson would be a gamble, right? Like most managers.
So it doesn't tick enough of those boxes
exactly,
that we spoke of.
Whereas if you bring in Steven Gerrard, you're bringing in a fan's favourite. So you're already saying to fans, OK then, we're bringing him in. This is the one you've been crying out for. So they can sort of protect themselves a little bit. But if they go for an off-field and that doesn't work, they'll be walking across a pitch as well, ain't they, Carl?
You can spin everything, though. If you wanted to, you could say, oh, Steven Gerrard, but... lazy, unimaginative. What, you've picked the one guy that had a bit of success here before. You know, I think you can always make those points.
And a different world. I think Rangers are on their knees now with this decision. I think the board are under so much pressure because Russell Martin's away, so they're going to vent their anger somewhere, right, in the situation, and you know where their anger's going. They have to get it right.
What was it Jordan called it? Kevin Thelwell's refer a friend initiative. I used to work in a call centre that had a brilliant refer a friend initiative when I was at uni. Honestly, what a scheme. That's for another day. Thank you to Jordan. Let's bring in David, who's in Cumbernauld. What are your thoughts on who comes next or who doesn't come next, David?
Well, I'm going to start. I agree with Hugh Keevans for once.
Jeez.
Gerrard walked away for Rangers, mate. I know he stopped 10 in a row. Gerrard walked away for Rangers prior to when Gerrard was still the manager. His football was rotten before he left to go to Aston Villa. He went to Aston Villa. He got all the millions that he wanted. What did he do with him? He took them backwards. He went to Al Etifact or whatever. What did he do with him? He had all the millions in the world. What did he do with him? He took them backwards. And then everybody on here, everybody, bring back Gerrard. What? Come on.
See, to be fair, right?
Who would you go for, David, out of curiosity?
Hey, I was going to swear there, but I can't, obviously. My mates will go mental at me here. No, who I would bring back? Get yourself back in the dugout, Alec McClement.
Oh, for goodness sake, with no offence to Alec,
I wouldn't leave Willow.
I couldn't do that to him. Right, hold on a minute.
Come on.
I liked Big Phil, as Alec would call him. Him and I got on fine. In what world is that the way forward, David? How could that possibly be?
Well, here, what's the way forward by bringing Gerrard back?
Listen, that's a different argument. I'm not saying Gerrard's the best.
See the players.
He shocked me there. I thought he was going to say Barry.
All right. See, the David splits it into two. I think you're perfectly entitled to say that. Has Steven Gerrard done much of note in management since he left Rangers? I think you'd have to say no. So no. You're not appointing him for that. You're appointing him for what he did previously.
Absolutely.
And maybe that other bit about
stature
and all that stuff. So you're not appointing him for what he's done since he's left, obviously. So I actually think that's fine. See this bit about walking away. And I know we all, especially Glasgow's big two, and we've got this real sense of, you know, the kind of pride and how big clubs they are, and they are. But see, Aston Villa and where they were at the time come calling, should it really be held against Steven Gerrard that he took that job?
No, and I think when you look at the circumstances as well, I think on the back of the title, I thought Steven Gerrard was looking to try and be seriously funded again, and I don't think the actual... that board at that time could do that. So he probably felt as if he'd taken them as far as he could possibly do. And I think the Rangers board at that time had spent as much as they possibly could trying to support Steven to get to where they stopped to 10 in a row. So I don't think they was there. So once that opportunity arises, he obviously thinks it's an opportunity to go back down. Listen, the Premier League's a really big lure for any manager. And, you know, sometimes you get on the merry-go-round down there and it's so worldwide now as opposed to Scottish football.
Would that concern you, Gordon, Steven Gerrard's, I was going to say lack of success, I don't know if that sounds unfair, but he's the journey that he's been on since Rangers.
Yeah.
He's not on an upward trajectory. Then again, maybe if he was, then you're not getting him, because obviously if you go to Villa and are a success, you're not coming back to Rangers soon.
I think his game plan basically was he won that title at Rangers, and that's why the Rangers fans absolutely love him, right? The argument is 1-9, we've heard it before. You're right, when Aston Villa come calling, massive club, lots of money down there, I think he was trying to work his pathway to eventually Liverpool.
Sure.
Right, and it fell flat in his face for it. He didn't achieve anything at Aston Villa. He moved on, he struggled to get a job. He has been backed with a lot of money. his win rate hasn't been great, but that doesn't mean to say he can't come back and revamp Rangers again. But if you're asking me, is he the one that stands right out? No, I think yeah, they're better out there. It's just going and getting them.
I must admit, I'm going to take my hat off to David, because you kind of know to expect the unexpected. You know you're going to get all sorts of names. I genuinely never considered that someone would call for Philippe Clement's reappointment. Not for one second.
That's call of the week, isn't it?
David, you're a pioneer. Thank you very much. Let me run this past you before we go on. Clyde One. Make me a winner. Go and give him my phone.
Big Phil.
In the next part. Get him on loudspeaker.
Get him on.
On FaceTime. See if he fancies it. Anyway, it's a new week, so there's a new chance to win our huge cash prize. It's £570,000. You can actually get 100 entries into this draw if you text BANK to 61025, and it costs you £10 plus your standard network rate for that message. For 7 entries though, you can text YES to 61025. The texts are £250 plus your standard network rate, or call 03434 269 340, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It is over 18s only. All the rules and online entry for this Rail Network competition are at makemeawinner.co.uk. Lines close 5pm Friday. £570,000 could be yours. Good luck.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Alex Ray and Gordon DL are here at 0141 951 1025. Let's hear a bit from Stephen Gerrard. There's a sentence I've not said in a couple of years on the show. Mentioned it earlier. It's just timing's everything, isn't it? He's appeared on Rio Ferdinand's podcast. Naturally, people are looking at it through a Rangers lens now. This is what he had to say about his managerial prospects.
Now, enjoying family time and doing a lot of things that I haven't been able to do, like going to Grand Prix, doing exhibition games with ex-teammates and superstars, that type of stuff's been great. But there's a part of me that still feels that there's a bit of unfinished business in terms of wanting to go in and face another couple of exciting challenges. But I want a certain type of challenge. If, in an ideal world, they come available, I'll jump at them. If they don't, I won't go back in. I want to be at a team that's going to compete to win, because I think that suits me better. Certain jobs and certain clubs would suit my style and the way I like to go about it. But I've also got time now where I'm not in a rush, where I know the right people that are out there to make me a stronger and a better coach. Mm. They're the people I need to find. Because if I get that the right match with them people around me, I know and I've proved I can be successful as a manager. Mm. And that's what I'm working on in the background now. But I've had 5 or 6 really interesting phone calls since I stopped in Saudi. And I haven't been ready because I haven't got that team set around me. And the timing hasn't been right. My daughter's just had a baby. I've just become a granddad. I wasn't ready. I haven't got my staff ready. So, unfortunately, them opportunities or them phone calls have come at the wrong time, if you like. But if the right call comes my way, the right club, the right challenge, and I've got my people set, which I will have at some point, I'll take that challenge on because it's in me.
Something really depressing about how old we're all getting if Steven Gerrard's a granddad. That's for another day. Congratulations to the Gerrard family. It's funny because you can almost hear the Rangers fans will now be putting their own bias on that, and because you're trying to hear things maybe, but it is quite unavoidable when he says he wants a job where he can get the opportunity to win things. No disrespect, that can't mean English Premier League then.
No,
there's not a top, he's not going to get a top 6 job in the English Premier League, right? So even within the English Championship, if that's what he means, given that he's been Saudi, not, I don't know, is he getting a top European job where they can win things? So maybe Rangers is. Do you is not, that what he means?
Do you not think that's a cry out to Rangers there?
Come and get me.
Come on.
Come and get me, please, yeah, as the tabloids would say.
Look, let's be honest here. I don't think he's short of a few quid, but he's an unemployed football manager. Right? That's what he is just now. He's an unemployed. He wants to be a football manager. He's unemployed. He needs a job. There's a club sitting along there, not too far from this studio, and they're desperate for a manager now. He sees that opening. That's why he's talking about the staff. I'll bet there's one or two ex-Rangers players going to be involved in that staff just to hype it up a little bit. He's crying out for it.
You didn't bring Michael Beale back.
Oh, that'd be brilliant.
What do you mean? It has to be. Surely he was meant to be, took training, took team meetings,
yeah,
was widely lauded as being part of whatever Steven Gerrard did achieve.
That would be the interesting one, yeah.
So that's what he's talking about. He said that's he feels that's where he's gone wrong in some of the recent ones. He said that he felt there's another bit of that where he speaks about he felt like Rangers he had the mix perfectly.
But Beale was with him at Aston Villa, wasn't he? Gary McAllister was with him at Aston Villa.
I think, did Beale not go to QPR though halfway through his tenure?
Yeah, well, he's seen what was going to happen and sneaked out.
And who else was it? Neil Critchley? Yeah. Either way, we've got a great story.
Yeah.
Critchley or Beale back.
I just feel that's... I think you've hit the nail on the head, Gordon. He ain't going to go back into Premier League with his past record, right? He's not been successful. He's won one trophy at Rangers. So he's dying for another crack at winning trophies, and the best place he's going to get it if he comes to Glasgow.
John is in Clyde Bank. Does Steven Gerrard do it for you, John? Is there someone else?
Well, when I phoned, I was actually phoning because I think Barry, I think the most important thing is to unite the fans. I think the fans have just I lost the new, and I do think when Barry Ferguson came in, he did get a couple of good results, but they were the Boone Stoke. And the fans seemed to be behind him. Even the ones that didn't think it was the right choice still seemed to get behind him. There wasn't any dissent coming for the Terrasons at that point. So I think, but now that what I've just heard, it does sound like Steven Gerrard is saying, come and get me, which I would think would also be a good choice. But my preference would still be Barry Ferguson. Get the guy to the end of the year. Barry Ferguson himself said, he thinks he's got something there, but he doesn't 100% know that he's got the qualities until he's got a full, maybe half a season, a window. And then I think the Rangers team at the moment, I've been to the Motherwell, I've been to St Mirren, I've been even at the weekend against Falkirk. Falkirk looked more dangerous than Rangers. Mm-hmm. I think the quality of player at Rangers, so even if Pep Guardiola was the manager, he's still going in there with a team that the quality that they've brought in is no... mid-table, some of them are mid-table Premier League players and no Rangers players, and that's a, even Barry came in, he still get that standard of player that would some of the players wouldn't get, actually get in the Motherwell team.
I want to get that. I'll get to Barry Ferguson specifically in a minute, but see, for anyone, is do you think Rangers need to do this till the end of the season? I mean, it is only October. I think they should be looking at that, or can they not just appoint the next guy now? You know what, is it not too early to go end of the season?
I think what they've done is just what you've said there. They brought in Clement, maybe a wee bit, you know, whatever, and then they brought in Martins, and again short notice. I don't see the problem with getting Barry Ferguson in. And if during in March and April, even February, if they think that Barry's not the right fit. But I do think the most important for fans is get the fans haven't been the 12th man of late. They've not been, and understandably, the guy that came on and slated the fans yesterday on your show he went away over the top. I mean, we're decimated, we're gutted. You don't know when this is going to stop. You don't know where it's going to end. And maybe a bit of patience and bring Barry Ferguson and get the fans on board. Barry Ferguson was a great talker. See, his interviews, they were superb. Even he was as honest as the day is long. He wasn't even disrespectful to players. And I think a bit of honesty wouldn't go amiss either. And I think it would be honest to the board members and everything else. And I just think get the 12th man back on board, and that's you already starting. But you're not going to do that before the January window. Even I don't know that Steven Gerrard would necessarily get them back on board as much as Barry Ferguson. I just think he's a Rangers man through and through. And I think he'd done an okay job. Don't forget the squad of players he had. And right now, half of your team would not get into the Motherwell team. Or even, you watch St Mirren, I went to Love Street, and St Mirren looked more dangerous. Livingston, we've done Livingston, but it took us the 93rd minute or the 95th minute to win at Livingston. So that's the quality of players. You can't blame the manager. He did bring them in, his team, or whoever brought them in, but he was a manager when they came in. So the standard of player, isn't he a 7 and 8 out of 10? Some of these players are fours and fives if you're lucky.
Well, I want to put it to the guys just before we hit the break.
I would be surprised if it was Barry, purely because Barry had the opportunity in the summer to get appointed, and secondly, I think they'll be looking to try and do a permanent one here. I don't think they've given up on the league as of yet. You've invested a lot of money. So I don't think there'll be an interim manager taking over at Rangers. They need to get a permanent one. They have to commit to someone and then commit to that project going forward. So I just don't see that happen at the moment. And listen to Barry speak over the last couple of days. I think it was yesterday, actually, that he was saying that he was very comfortable in his ambassadorial role and he was happy with what he was actually doing.
I agree with Alec. I don't think it's a road they're going to go down. Listen, John and Clyde Bank, 100% right, I said it. Ibrox would have been emptied if it wasn't for Barry Ferguson and Neil McCann and Dodgy and McGregor and all that getting in there. They held it together. But that's what they were put in for. They were given the opportunity. If they were going to get the job, they'd have got it.
And they would need to win more games ultimately.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Listen, they had a couple of great results in there, obviously Celtic Park and everything. But they would have been given the summer window and brought in their own players. And maybe things would have been different. We're by that now. I don't think Barry will be brought back. Plus the fact, you look at Rangers, not to the end of the season, they're seven games into the league.
They're in every other competition because it's so early.
They're a semi-final against Celtic.
Interim's like a February thing, isn't it? February onwards kind of thing.
And right now, the Celtic fans are leaving amidst. Celtic aren't firing on all cylinders. So, no, I think they'll go for permanent.
Thank you, John. We will agree to disagree and play this. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. Come on then, Beat the Pundit time. Your chance to win a sign ball or the Beat the Pundit coin if you can get beyond Gordon Dalziel or Alex Ray. 0141 951 1025. Lines close at 7. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard. Gordon Dalziel and Alex Ray are here. It's 0141 951 1025. You know the drill. When there's a big managerial vacancy, we're just throwing names in. Some are predictable, some are a bit left field. We've had a return for Philippe Clement on the phones, which was a surprise. Alex Ray is trying to get in touch with him to see if he fancies it. We've had Barry Ferguson, we've had Steven Gerrard, obviously. Who else have we had? Anything else that's... Steven Robinson.
Yep.
So listen, every suggestion's a fair one at this early stage. So keep them coming. Your thoughts on the Rangers managerial vacancy, of course. If you've got something else out there that's pressing and you want to bring it up, more than welcome to do that as well. And we play this first. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. Okay, Beat the Pundit tonight. How's the record?
Good. Is it? Good. Good victory.
70% now you're up to it,
yeah,
apparently.
Good victory on Thursday. Was it? Confident victory.
Was I here?
Yeah, you were here. Did you were asking me the questions.
I feel like I can't remember.
I was on fire. You even said it.
You're still... Where are you?
70% is not bad.
It's quite low, though, on the table.
But there's people only playing two times.
Hughes above you, he's played more. Rogers above you. And in fact, he's not played more.
Hughes
can't
be above me.
Yeah, Hughes above you. Scott Allen above you. Rogers above you.
Well, I'm not.
Marvin's above you.
Oh, Marv's not lost a game.
Alex is above you. He's only played once.
You got 100%?
One from one. Yeah. Shane is on from Bridgeweir. How's it going, Shane?
All good, yeah, yourself?
Yeah, good, thank you. Is this your Beat the Pundit debut?
Yes, it is.
Good stuff. It's like the luck of the draw. Obviously, we do pick a caller at random. It's still a very popular competition. Last night's guy had been on about five times and won them all.
No way.
He was brilliant.
He won them all.
He did win last night.
Yeah. Who was on?
It was Ross McCormick.
Oh, well, that's not a victory.
No, but he was... I can't even remember. It shows you how bad that is. These will merge into one. But he
was...
a
pass.
No, the guy was good. Was he? Was really good. He'd been winning left, right, and centre.
He's won five.
Anyway, let's toss the coin. If it is the blue side, it will be Alex Ray. And if it's the red side, it will be Gordon Dalziel. And it is the latter, Mr. Dalziel.
Yeah.
You happy with
You've
that?
You've got a chance to go above Hugh here.
Yes.
I'll tell you what, you better be good. You better win. If you don't win,
don't
hang
listen
up
to
quickly.
Him. Don't listen to him. Honestly, the table's putting pressure on you. I mean, so many of them, and they all get very protective over their record. There's Stephen O'Donnell sent a message. I'm above him. He's played once, won once.
Ah, he can't be saying like, that.
They'll take it very,
not
very,
a
very seriously. Anyway, right, let's give Gordon Dalziel something else to listen to. That way he can't hear your answers, Shane, which I'm sure you know is quite straightforward. 30 seconds, Answer as many as you can, and you are allowed to pass. You don't have to guess, okay?
Yep.
Good man. You're 30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. Who does Scotland play on Sunday?
Pass.
Which player commanded the record transfer fee between two Scottish clubs?
Pass.
What Lowland League club play in Strathclyde Park?
Pass.
Since 2020, how many full-time managers have Rangers had?
Five.
Which manager's taken charge of the most games for the Scotland men's team?
Pass.
Which Scotland international, you've got time, which Scotland international currently plays his club football in Greece?
George Balder.
Okay, no. Let's bring back Gordon DL. Can you hear us?
Yes.
Ready? Just last wee bit of coffee there just to get you perked up.
I'm ready.
Right, 30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. Who does Scotland play Sunday?
Belarus.
Which player commanded the record transfer fee between two Scottish clubs?
Scott Brown, no idea.
Which Lowland League team play in Strathclyde Park?
Ah, I know that. Yeah, pass. Go.
Since 2020, how many full-time managers have Rangers had?
Since 2020, three.
Which manager has taken charge of the most games for the Scotland men's team?
Craig Brown.
Which Scotland international plays his club football in Greece?
In Greece? Over in Greece?
Stop doing that to try and buy yourself more time.
Scott McKenna, no idea.
No. Alright, Shane, how did it go?
That was hard.
Terribly. Terribly. The pressure's unbelievable.
Oh yes! Did they, how many? Tell me you never got a donut.
I would describe Shane's performance as tiki-taka. Pass, 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 pass.
Yeah. I didn't even play that well in your beat.
I've heard of passing guy. Teams to death, but it's not a good tactic to beat the pundit.
Seriously?
You passed them all, nearly.
Did he get a donut?
Nah, let's go through them. Well, you'll need to wait and find out. Scotland on Sunday play Belarus. Greece Thursday, Belarus Sunday. Shane passed. Set the tempo nice and early. Took kick-off. Listen, sometimes you've got to take safe possession from kick-off. Just get it to a teammate. Yeah. Keep the ball.
Yeah. Yeah,
oh, but he passed the next one as well, so he's now worked. He's out to the fullback.
I don't even know why he used his phone. He'd have been better just sitting watching us.
By
YouTube.
The way, the type of answer, no offence, this is how low I think of you, right? You can't really say that, can you? No offence, this is how low I think of you.
I'm quite happy.
The type of answer that made me think you'd seen my sheet in the office, Scott Brown, superb from
was
me.
Was he?
There's not a chance I thought you would get that.
Mate, I swear that's the biggest guess I've ever
had.
You're
right, two absolute geniuses in here. Well done, Scott Brown, £4.5 million Hibs to Celtic. Disappointed in you here, though, Mr. Motherwell. I thought you spent a lot of time hanging around Strathclyde Park.
The
Caledonian Braves.
The Braves invited me their games. I'm sorry.
So I think the actual stadium bit is called Alliance Park.
I pass it all the time, and sometimes I just park there and watch your training.
See, if you flash your lights, you'll be able to see the sign lighting up Alliance Park. Since 2020, how many full-time managers have Rangers had? Gerard Beale, Van Bronckhorst, Clement, Martin, five. Shane got it.
Oh, brilliant.
I love we're slagging Shane. He's one behind you. Which manager has taken charge of the most games for Scotland men's team? It's Craig Brown.
Craig Brown, yes.
Well done to you. However,
I was maybe going to go Andy Roxburgh, but I went
Craig
Brown.
No.
Steve Clark equals it Thursday.
Ah, well, it's not Thursday. Shane, phone back Thursday, you might get that one.
That's
right.
A good wee stat to keep up your sleeve. So by Sunday, Steve Clark becomes Scotland's longest serving manager.
Yeah, if he lasts to Sunday.
That'd be quite something if he didn't take the game on Sunday.
Right, 3-1. That's where it all ends.
Which Scotland international plays in Greece?
Greg Taylor.
Sure is.
Shane, is it just the pressure? Is that what it does to you?
It's the pressure.
Shane, let's hear that yes again.
As well.
Was that yes a big loud yes that you shouted?
Were you celebrated getting Gordon DL?
I've been saying to everyone I want to play you. So I
can
scud you, but...
Oh, geez, scud me well. You've done well. You get one, mate.
Yeah.
Who's your team, Shane?
Celtic.
How would you sum up the thoughts of a Celtic fan at the moment?
I don't know. It's rough. I don't know. I think Brendan Rodgers is going to leave 100% at the end of the season. But, I don't know. The performances just aren't good enough. I think the style of play is getting a bit stale at this point.
See if that is the case. Do you think that hangs over the place by the end of the season? For the rest of the season, sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, I think the players know it too. I think they know he's gone.
This meeting, you know, the situation that's been going on, and there was night. So many. The Celtic Fans Collective was like the umbrella term for the group. So they met the club, and the reports of that have now come out. So I'm struggling for like one big headline from it, but I suppose what you'd say is it doesn't feel like there's much progress, right? So it just doesn't. It feels like the supporters group have said they don't feel like they've got anywhere with it, really. They still feel that it's compounded the necessity and urgency of change. Remember, they called off the silent protest against Motherwell at the weekend, and last week they had this 420 signatories, various members of the fan base. So they met senior execs at the club. But yeah, it doesn't really seem to be. The Celtic Fans Collective have posted a summary of the meeting. They said that a recurring theme through all answers and discussions was a lack of humility, awareness and accountability. What's also very interesting, because I'd love to know more about this, and I can't wait for the next press conference, because presumably Brendan Rodgers will be asked about it. You remember the story appeared in the Scottish Sun? Someone at Celtic saying Brendan Rodgers is trying to work his ticket, essentially. Mm-hmm. Brendan Rodgers called it a cowardly act, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
It was so strong. He called for an investigation, and ultimately said that the person responsible should sort of pay a price for it. The fan collective have issued a statement basically saying that they were told that that meeting's, that issue is now closed.
So there is no investigation.
They're satisfied. They say I spoke to the manager, and that's it. And that will be that. So, look, I know that's not like big, massive headline. The club have said this. Maybe you could say it was never going to be that blockbuster. I don't think this meeting was going to take place, and Michael Nicholson was going to say, guys, I'll resign. You know, that was unlikely. But it does feel like this.
It could be the first question of the next presser then. Are you happy that it's been. Laying in the sand
so
with the investigation.
Doesn't look like things are moving forward, Shane, does it?
Not at all. I don't think so. I don't know. I think he's going to be gone. I think the board does need to go. I do agree with that. I don't know.
Shane, you don't need to keep saying you don't know. It's no beat the pundit.
Shane, he's on you now. He is on you. But Alex, in fairness, I think we were all maybe of a similar mind that you were never quite sure of exactly what could come out of this anyway. Like I said, it was unlikely to be this one clear headline, or you know, there was never going to be a resignation. There was never going to be, but I think fans were probably hoping for a bit more. If they've came away, and again, I'm sure the board would disagree with this, but if they've come away feeling that there was no humility, awareness and accountability, doesn't look like it's achieved much at all. So what do we do?
I don't think it's going to end anytime soon for the fans, Gordon. I think they will double down. I think there'll be more protests. And I genuinely believe that the board won't move either. I feel as if they've kind of been steadfast in their stance and how they're going about this. So I don't know how they get to a compromise where both parties are happy with this situation, because I had lunch with a mate of mine today who supports Celtic, and I was trying to get a flavour from it, and I was going, listen, they've won 13 titles out of 14, they've got X amount of money in the bank, they've had a shocking transfer window, and Alex, a lot more than that, it's communication, and generally they feel as if the board are stagnating. They want the board to be driving this club forward, and they don't seem as if that's the case, even though they spent 40 odd million over the course of the last year.
I think like the board resigning, or you know, get the board out, it always feels very vague, that, and very unlikely what all of them, you know, who replaces them. So I don't know what sort of it doesn't sound like there's any change.
No,
really, around the corner.
It's not certainly not the outcome that both parties were looking for, Gordon, you've got to say. A bit disappointing. These meetings are set up to try and smooth waters and get Celtic back on track as a football club. You just wonder, like Alex said there, what is their next move? Is it back to the protests, the silence? I don't mind any fan in the world protesting, right? I don't really buy into the silence one, right? I know that the 12th man, I understand it, staying out the ground, coming in the 12th minute, got all that, brilliant. But the silence, I think you're not really affecting the board. I think you're affecting more of the players on the pitch.
Thank you to Shane. Any Celtic fans want to wade in on that? I know it's Russell Martin Central, but there's always room for other talking points, because that is clearly a big one. And I guess we'll find out more. It doesn't get accelerated because Celtic, obviously, like everybody else, will get the international break. Yep. Like I said, it'll be, I don't know, 10 days before we speak to Brendan Rodgers. Does a silence get reinstated for the next game?
I think they'll come up with something, Gordon. There's no two ways they're just going to leave it at that. You know, they feel as if they've been hard done by the board, and they will make their discontent known to them again. And again, unfortunately, it'll be the team that actually suffers from that. Because, you know, if it's a 12-minute protest and they're outside the ground or whatever it may well be, and obviously they'll know that they support the team. What you will see is when they have come in after protests, they've been really supportive of the team. So I think the team will be appreciative of that.
What you clearly can get from this, Gordon, is that this is big picture stuff. This is not something that is going to change if Celtic win two games in a row. It's not going to change if they win three games in a row. However, I'm a big believer that it always makes a difference. It has to. It's just human nature that, for Brendan Rodgers, he and the team, if they can focus on trying to find their top level, because they're not there yet, they're minutes away from dropping points. And you can look at that two ways at the weekend. We've all seen it before. That's the sign of champions. They dug that out. Is this a big moment? Is this the catalyst, not only for the team, is this the catalyst for Dyson, Maeda, all that sort of stuff? But Brendan Rodgers and the players better hope that it is, because this stuff, whilst is focused on the big picture, it only gets worse if results aren't there, surely.
Oh, 100%. It's like we said earlier in the programme about Russell Martin. We believe, two's agreed, that sometimes the players get away with everything, Gordon. They get away with murder because all the focus is on Russell Martin. It's the same with Celtic just now. Most of the focus from the Celtic fans are on the board. And Brendan Rodgers and the players just now are slipping under the radar a little bit. So you've got to look at them. Mm-hmm. Listen, it was a great result for them because Motherwell went there, good team, playing with a lot of confidence. They grinded it out. They got the last-minute winner, which, at the end of the day, the game's 90-plus minutes, so well done to them, three goals at home. But they have to improve, because right now, Celtic are off it.
There are issues within that that won't go away, because it was all done in a very positive, celebratory way, understandably, at the weekend. But Brendan Rodgers said, he was quite open. He said, Dyson Maeda is playing out of position on the right-hand side. It's not ideal. He's there as a consequence of where the squad is in the balance. You can see the difference in energy when he moves.
Yeah, central.
But what about the next game? Because Ian Acho's still there, Tonetki's still there, and there's still no right wing. So does Dyson Maeda play there again? So if he does, then he's still out of position and he's still lacking the energy that he apparently gets when he moves.
And if he doesn't play well, then Brendan Rodgers is going to come under the spotlight by saying, well, you're a guy that says he plays better in there with more energy, but we're wasting his talents out in the right-hand side.
But also then, something has to give. Tonetki probably didn't if he was a bit quieter at the weekend. But Ian Acho, I feel like he's becoming a bit of a fan's favourite at the moment.
He looks as if he could be a real handful, Gordon. He's a brilliant finisher as well. He's composed, and he will get fitter over the coming weeks as well, because he obviously came in late into the building, so he will most certainly.
Do you think they could swap the wingers, Alec? I know that I
don't think so. I see the way that Tonetki, and he can go both ways.
Well, you've seen him
first hand, he can go both ways, so for me he may well be more limited if he was playing off the right hand side. And sometimes you're actually better coming off the left-hand side, rolling in, giving goes, shots from the edge of the box on his favoured right foot.
Just shows you, because the Thistle game taught us he can go inside, he can go outside, he can run through grass that's knee-height, deliberately left that way, so that, you know, it's amazing.
Who said that?
His skill set.
Pitch isn't terrific. That's a slanderous comment against
him. It's just a joke, the groundsman. I know you work very hard. Mark told me that you're an honest professional. It was just a joke.
I know.
Give us a call. We'll speak to you next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Alex Ray and Gordon DL are here. It's 0141 951 1025. It's time for the full-time teaser. Just before the end of the break, Alex Ray said to me, how's this looking? And I took one look at it and thought, no offence to you two. I just don't know. I don't know if you've got this question in your locker.
It could be a long night.
I would probably agree with
you. It's extremely difficult.
I'm not taking that one as a criticism.
Thanks to Jamie.
We'll get Big Shane on to help us.
Hamilton. Done well. Who? Busquets?
No, Big Shane for you.
That's what I'm saying. Passmaster.
Oh, Passmaster. You've came down worse than me. Right, go.
I lied, Shane. I'll get him back on. I'm going to make it even slightly easier for you than it says on this sheet. I feel that sorry for you. You've got my pity, which is even worse. So, Jamie in Hamilton says, Russell Martin is now Rangers' shortest-serving manager, a record once held by Paul Le Guin. Can you name... This is so hard, right? Let's go six non-Scots who made more than 20 appearances under Paul Le Guin.
Non-Scots?
So... Paul Le Guin, pretty short era, and we're looking for the six non-Scots who made the most appearances. Actually, you didn't need that detail. For what it's worth, it's all over 20, but I'm just asking you for the six most appearances from non-Scots under Paul Le Guin.
I don't even know who.
And honestly,
under
this
Paul
list
Le
Guin. Is. Oh, how did so? Who's
the midfield? There's a French midfielder in there.
Yes, you might be right.
Who is it then?
It came from PSG.
I think you're probably
Clement?
On the same.
Clement?
Yeah,
Clement.
Jeremy Clement. Well done. Superb.
Beautiful start.
So how does that era square with when you played just after?
Just after, yeah.
So you're looking at guys. So maybe
from.
So
was
maybe former
was
teammate
it?
Of yours.
Das? No.
What year
former
was that? Hamdani.
He is top 29 appearances.
I'm leaving this to you, mate.
Right, let's leave it there because actually only asking for three more. So
right, okay.
we'll just leave it there. We're looking for the six top non-Scots appearance holders under Paul Le Guin. See, if you're having a bit of fun at home and you're just playing along, you'll see it if you're watching the live stream. The initial question was the top 11.
Wow.
Oh, no.
We're off 8 o'clock.
No.
So
we'd
I don't
have
don't
to come
know
back tomorrow night.
If that's been
what are you doing tomorrow night?
Realised.
What you've done well, mate. Two of the six. I'm happy with you.
Yeah, it's a good,
what
it's a good
year
standard.
Was Le Guin?
2006. Yeah. I think who else was in that team?
Let's bring in Jimmy, I think, who is on the phone. Is he? We're getting Jimmy put onto us. Let's see what we've got here. I don't know if my screen's going a bit slow. Oh, he was there, then he's not. He's teasing me. I don't know. Not quite know which direction. This is heading in. Come on, somebody press the magic button. There he is, Jimmy. Take it away.
There's actually 2 points if I can squeeze them in.
You can.
First one was with regards to Brendan Rodgers. I wasn't privy. I've not been privy to what actually happened last night with the fan collector, but it was actually the disparity between the two. So, say this time last week, Rangers were bored, were backing their manager, even though he was probably the most unsuccessful manager that they've had. Whereas over the other side of the city, arguably other than Jock Stein, Brendan Rodgers is actually Celtic's most successful manager, yet they've still not offered them a contract. That was my first point, but my second point was actually with regards to how much does Celtic miss Greg Taylor for a left back?
Yeah, good point.
You know, Greg was actually probably a lot of the boo boys with Hoverdig. He was a fan's favourite for actually booing all of his performances, but I actually think now, obviously, Tierney isn't up to full speed, and obviously, even in the first half against Motherwell at the weekend there, you know, he was left for toast a couple of times. I forget the guy's name, our new left back. The guy that they go in.
Oh, sorry, Sarachi, Marcelo Sarachi.
So there was a couple of times he was actually skinned at the weekend, and Celtic actually nearly lost the goal because of it. And I'm actually thinking now, given the money that they've spent, I don't know what they've spent on Tierney or Sarachi for that matter of fact, but should they really have just dug deeper and kept Greg Taylor?
I think you make a valid point there. Jimmy, I think Greg Taylor was very successful. He knew the patterns of play that Brendan Rodgers wanted to adapt into his team, and I think over the piece he was very comfortable in that role. And they obviously thought by bringing Tierney back into the mix that they would be getting an upgrade on that, but unfortunately to date he struggled to get really up to full fitness, and I don't think he's done too many 90 minutes over that piece either. Sarachi looks decent at times going forward, but as you say, defensively might be vulnerable a little bit.
Is it, well, because we don't know the details, Brendan Rodgers said on numerous occasions towards the tail end of last season, he wanted Greg Taylor to stay, and he felt Taylor and Tierney would both play a lot of games. And by the way, look at it now, I think you could say that, you know, you would, they would have got game time. So I take Jimmy's point, because all we're left with is the assumption that if Celtic really, really wanted that, you just give him more money and then he stays. I don't know if it's as simple as that, but I do understand why you would reach that conclusion.
Yeah, it couldn't have been simple, because if that was the case, Taylor probably would have stayed, wouldn't he? Because you look at the situation, he would have got a lot of game time. I think the difference is that Taylor can play that inverted role. He can come into Midley Park, it looks comfortable. Tierney's more up and down the left flank, you know, the power running. He's obviously struggling to go up to fitness just now. Sometimes you become that player that everybody thinks, oh, we shouldn't have let him go, or a sub that, oh, he should be playing every week when the team's struggling. You look at the left-back position, yeah, it's a bit struggling just now, but so's the full team for me. All the big hitters, you know, even down to the captain, McGregor, who's been brilliant for Celtic, I think he's struggling a little bit. I think Maeda is well documented, Hatate's off it as well. There's a few in there really, really struggling. And then all of a sudden this focus comes on the players that have been let go or on the bench or suspended or whatever. You become a better player when your team's struggling. If Celtic had kicked off in the season the way that everybody thought, because let's not be kidded here, when Tierney come back, everybody went, that's an upgrade. And rightly so, because Tierney's a fantastic footballer. He's just struggled to get up to speed just now. And on top of that, there's a Celtic team that's struggling on the pitch. So,
and there might be that stylistic thing, I think, especially now in modern football where everything is so structured and the roles are so specific. The notion of who's the better player is maybe kind of missing the point.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, like, you know, I think, as we said earlier, like, generally speaking, you stop somebody in the street and say, who's better out of Kieran Tierney and Greg Taylor? But now the question is, better at what? That's the key thing, really, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think he's more adapt to the way that they want to play Celtic, especially off that left-hand side. I thought Taylor had that down to a T. He get the overload in the middle of the park, which freed up. The amount of times you see Celtic centre-half scales stepping forward and playing a direct ball to the left-hand side, they were the winger, and then they're on the front foot just by one pass. They eliminate the whole midfield. So that worked a treat for Celtic over the time that Taylor was there. So you're absolutely right, Gordon, what you're saying is he's very much adapt to what he was very good in that Celtic role. But unfortunately, he's gone now, so there's no really much point in looking back now.
Jimmy, you mentioned, you know, you're not privy to exactly what went on at the meeting. Of course you're not, but the fan collective issuing a statement or an update saying that they didn't feel the Celtic board sort of took accountability. It doesn't sound like they were satisfied with the answers that they got. How does this rumble on? What do you think it looks like?
Well, with regards to transfers, I mean, we can go on and on about that. My main concern was the fact that Brendan still hasn't been offered a contract either. So, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, who's more important, the most successful manager other than Jock Stein or a board member? You can talk about the finance, but obviously we want results on the park. And, you know, I think you actually brought up earlier on when I was driving, I had heard you actually saying that this is probably going to have an effect laterally in the season if Brendan doesn't receive, you know, even an offer of a contract. Because, I mean, I know you're asking them impressors whether there's been any updates or whatever, and if there had been, then fine. But, with regards to the board, I think there actually needs to be some sort of change, but what that's going to be, or if there ever actually will be or any, I don't know. I really don't know.
Yeah, it feels like that will be quite a difficult one to manage, because I'm sure at some point Brendan Rodgers will say, look, not that he doesn't want to answer any more questions on it, but he'll literally get asked every week, pretty much, at some point. So he might sort of make it clear that, look, we want to put that to bed for now. We want to just focus, and whatever will be. I think we'll start hearing things like that. But that's much easier said than done. Everybody knows. There's so much scrutiny now. Social media every day, shows like this. I feel like it will hang over. I'm not saying it'll be detrimental. I don't know for sure of that. But I just feel like the closer you get, or the longer you get into the season, how could you not keep wondering what Brendan Rodgers' future is?
Yeah. I think that if we're all taking a guess just now, we'd be thinking he'd be leaving the building at the end of the season after his 3 years is up, Gordon. You'd be surprised if slightly that conversation's not been had. You know, I don't know what
He's been quite open about it. He said there were initial discussions in the summer, but nothing's moved since then, or there was no offer, I think, was the last update.
Yeah, and sometimes that just happens. Sometimes you get that sort of a... And they're a sort of a split there now in Celtic. There's no doubt about that. You know, from the management recruitment to the board, there's a sort of slight split between every single aspect of the club. You just wonder if that's playing a part in it just now. The big interesting, the interesting thing for me and Celtic fans has got to be, if this isn't resolved by the time January comes, what do you do? You know, Brendan Rodgers, do you go with his recommendations of bringing in new players when you think that he's not going to be there in the summer? I'll be a very, very strange January.
Well, thank you very much to Jimmy and Dalkeith. We're going to pause for breath, and when we return, I reckon we'll probably, looking at these phone lines, go back to Rangers' managerial vacancy. So get your thoughts in and we'll speak to you next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Already into the home stretch on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, a busy old show as always. Let me quickly visit this teaser that was sent in by Jamie in Hamilton, and thank you to him on the email fulltime@clydeone.com. Paul Le Guin is now the second shortest serving Rangers manager. Can you name the six non-Scots who had the most appearances under him? So they all had more than 20. You've got Brahim Hemdani, Jeremy Clement.
Right, the only one I can come up with is the wee guy.
No.
No, no.
Nah, none of them are wee.
I'm sure he is. Is it Sebo or somebody?
Sebo was the wee.
No, he was about 6 feet, wasn't he?
Was he? I thought he was a wee dummy. Nah. Is it Sebo?
Oh, he's there. He's on the list for sure. He played 24 times. He's just not wee.
That wee giant.
That wee giant. The wee big guy then.
Namuchi.
No.
Oh, you've done me a kipper there.
Two to go.
Vatterhus.
No. Now you're struggling.
All right, okay.
He started well.
All right.
Well, I'm going down. Is it Salanka? Slanka?
What are you on about? Sionko?
Maybe? Sionko?
Nah. He's about 8th or 9th on the list. Anyway, we'll get back to it. Gary is on the line. How are you, Gary? Hello, Gary.
He's listening to radio.
Hi, how you doing? All right?
All right, Gary. What's your point tonight?
I was just going to just make a wee quick comment. With a new manager coming in, just with the fixtures that are coming up, I know the Rangers fans are probably going to go off after Kevin Thirlwall and Patrick Stewart. But if you look at the fixtures that are coming up, with Dundee United, Bran, Kilmarnock, Hibs, Aberdeen, Celtic and Roma, I just feel as if, like, with the manager gone now, these players really need to pick up their socks and seriously buckle down, because the next manager that's coming in is going to have to really, really seriously get these players playing.
Yeah, well, I mean, they all need to hit the ground running, don't they? But in particular,
the problem is he's got a big squad there. They brought in, 13 players in the summer. The manager goes in to a changing room that he's not signed one of them. He can't do anything until January. So he's got to get a tune out of them, Gordon. But
that's just football, though, isn't it? Yeah, nowadays. Yeah.
And he can change information.
Lots of clubs change manager between the season starting in January. Yeah.
There's a big turnover there at Rangers, and he can get in there, he can tweak one or two things. He can change silly things like training, he can change tactics, formation, he can build players up, get that confidence going again. But the responsibility at times will lie with the players. And I've sort of questioned them, especially Ibrox, when things aren't going right. And Alec will tell you, we've played there. There's nothing worse than lonely than you're out at Ibrox and you're not playing well, and all of a sudden you can hear the fans.
Is it imperative, Gary, that this is done for the Dundee United game in 11 days?
I think so. I think just to get... I'm not going to say steady the ship, because that's obviously, you know, it's a rocky boat. But just to get in there and just see what this squad is all about, because there is talent there. Do you know what I mean? There is, but there's been a lot of money spent, a lot of money spent. So does he just come in just to see what's going to happen in January and just try and get rid of players. There's been there's just a lot of wrong investment, a lot of bad players that have been out.
I was just going to ask Alex, you know, on that, the it's big picture, it needs to be right. So if it's for the sake of a couple of days, I'm not going to hold that against Rangers, but because you've got this break, it is 11 days time, like I said. You can tell me most, yes, apart from the players that are away, obviously, in international duty, the players probably got Monday off anyway, Monday, Tuesday, but I mean, they'll be back in soon. What's that, what do you think that's looking like right now? Because all his staff
are gone.
I mean, there's somebody there. David McCallum is still in the building. Malky Thompson. These are the types of
guys that are about the building. Yeah.
So will they take training in the coming days for the players that are not? It's not like they're going to be off until the end of next week, is it? They'll be back at some point.
Yeah, and that's a very good point. David McCallum's still in the building, so I would imagine, and I think at this particular time during international break, it's just ticking these players over because most of the guys will be away in international duty, Gordon. But I think the interesting one is that we're trying to get to a shortlist. Now, you think about the amount of applicants that are actually going to be, they're going to have to sift through that, get a shortlist and whittle that down. They have to get interview process. How long does that last for? If you look at the last process, Russell Martin was believed to be 7 times. So I don't think they have the time to do that. So they're going to have to make a decision. Can they do that in, 11, 12 days? I think that's a big ask because you also have to get all your staff in place as well, whoever that
man is. Do you not think they'll have a manager in before the next game?
I think they'll struggle to get one in.
Do they not absolutely have to?
Yes. I take all that on board. I'm just thinking that if they're going to a short list just now and then they have to go through the interview process, people getting here, staffing coming in, can that all be done in a week and a half? I think it's a tall order. And
well, if it's Steven Gerrard, he's not got his staffing ready, so it'll take him longer. I'd be amazed. I know what you're saying. It does take time and interviews. I think they'll have a number one candidate sitting right now.
Gordon, it took them 4 months or so to get to Russell Martin. You know, we got punted last February, I think it was, and then it was up, what is it?
It's a more pressing situation
of course,
now, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. But they surely...
They were riding out to the end of the season, right, to see how they went. Obviously, Barry and the staff come in. This is completely different. You can't keep losing ground. You said earlier that they still have ambitions of maybe getting up there and challenging for a league. 7 games in... Look, I don't think they will, but you don't write that off. But you can't go, right, we'll keep looking for a manager because there are a lot of big, important games coming up.
Gary mentions a lot of money's been spent, which is true. It was a net spend of £20 million, according to Kevin Thelwell. On him, do you think all of this that's happened, and given the statement that was issued, and if you read it carefully, maybe you can read into what the ownership group thinks of what's going on, do you think he still will appoint his son as the head of recruitment? Just because it's not happened yet. Now, timing's going to be really, really difficult for Rangers. Imagine they announced that tonight. My goodness, the reaction. I just wonder if...
Yeah, I think he will.
Do you?
Down that road. And the reason being is that... what does it look like if he doesn't?
I know, but is Kevin Thelwell under pressure from the ownership group?
Well, did you see with the statement I read? It was saying we're going to be more hands-on in this appointment with Kevin and Patrick. So I got the impression that they two were going to be in conjunction with the other two. That's the way I read that.
I think he's under more pressure from the supporters.
But is there another reading of that says why is the sporting director not being left to it?
Yeah, no, listen, but the thing is, there's another way to look at it, Gordon, that the supporters were going, wait a minute, I know you guys are based in America, but what input are you having to these decisions? Because they've just put their hands up to this appointment. So we've got this badly wrong. See if they sat over there and went like that, we'll just leave that to Kev.
Sure.
I would be sitting back here going like that, these guys are not really invested in the club.
I still wonder. I can't imagine a time when Rangers are going to confidently be able to appoint Thelwell Jr. at the moment. I just imagine the reaction, because it was already...
I find it astonishing that you go through an interview process and then you come to your boy who's 26 who's had a couple of scouting jobs.
Stuart is on the other line. You'll finish us off tonight. Stuart, take it away.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello, guys.
Hello.
Gordon 1, Gordon 2, and Alex. Hello, how are you doing?
Hello, Stuart. Good. What are you thinking?
What I'm thinking is basically, I'm thinking maybe... McInnes.
Right, okay. So that
and,
would
float
your
number
boat.
Two would be Barry Ferguson.
Oh, well.
Well, well. My point would be to Alex Ray, because he's been involved with Ferguson at Ibrox recently. And so I think Barry Ferguson done a reasonable job.
See, when we start picking like assistants and randomly pairing, like, let's just say it was Derek McInnes, he'll pick his assistant. And yeah. I doubt it'll be Barry Ferguson.
I think he took his the boys from Sheehan,
yeah,
and
Paul Sheehan.
Yeah, so yeah. They took the boys from Kamala to Hearts. So I would imagine he would have the confidence with him.
I do. I don't want to pick up on that too much, because to be fair to Stuart, I'm glad he's introduced the name, because we've not heard it yet tonight and we're nearly finished, and it seems like one of the more obvious suggestions, whatever that means. A couple of questions for you. Would Rangers be interested in Derek McInnes? Would he be interested if they were? And could it be made happen in the current climate where everybody finds themselves in?
I'm sure the Hearts supporters are shouting at the radio.
Absolutely.
Just now.
Of course it can happen.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there'll be a buyout clause, whatever that is.
Would Derek... Now, remember when...
So first, would Rangers want him? Because I think that's the most important.
I think they would possibly look at him, yeah. I think since he's went to Hearts and all of a sudden he's become a threat to... obviously Celtic Rangers just now, whether that can continue throughout the season. He's an experienced manager, knows the Scottish game inside out. He's already been asked that question a long time ago when he was a manager at Aberdeen, decided it wasn't for him. So he might look at the club and say the same. Look, I'm on a project here with Hearts, I'm quite happy going along, but right now Rangers are a massive club that need an experienced manager. Would they look at him? I think they would. I don't think Derek will be the manager of Rangers.
No, listen, but the thing is, if he's got suitors within the building and you're looking for, again, ticking boxes, he knows the Scottish game inside out, then he would most certainly come into that kind of bracket. So I wouldn't rule that one out either, Gordon, because he's had such a good start to his Hearts reign as well. Would the Hearts fans want that? Obviously, no.
Would that change things? Let's say the question's asked. Does it... Because this is a guy that's turned down the job before. So you've got that.
Yeah.
So two ways of looking at that. The second one is, well, you don't turn it down again.
Yeah.
Or he looks at the project that he's involved in at Hearts, looks at what ground he'd have to make up from Rangers at the moment, and actually thinks he'd be best where he is.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I think he would weigh everything up, Gordon, if the project's at Hearts is where his heart's at and things. But I think the landscape's slightly different where... what he was getting offered back then, you know, you have a new owner, a new franchise coming into Rangers, basically, and they are ploughing money in that probably wasn't there the last time, so that would give him a more fighting chance.
Right, thanks, Stuart. That's us almost out of time. Paul Le Guin, since he's been overtaken by Russell Martin as the shortest-serving manager, who are the six non-Scots who appeared most under Paul Le Guin? You've got Hemdani, Sibo and Clement. You've got three to get, actually. I said two. Two of them...
Papach.
Two of them are former teammates of yours. So that should be nice.
I was going to say Papach.
Papach, no. Two former teammates, foreigners.
Come on.
I'd say
Dado. Yeah. Prusso, yeah. Mm-hmm. Big Dado, yeah.
I'd say two of the more high profile ones.
Prusso. Mm-hmm. Big Marvin had left, didn't he? Nacho?
No, he had 20 appearances. You're looking, this guy's got 22.
All right, okay. Position?
Midfielder. Nationality will nail it for you. Belgian.
Oh, wee Thomas.
Thomas Buffel.
I thought you said big guys. No wee guys.
And the last one. I don't hold out much hope for you getting this one.
Nishals.
Position.
I love it. Position. Nishals.
Nationality?
Yes.
Swedish.
Thorn, born.
You're naming members of ABBA, that's what I was going to say.
That's Swedish.
Shout out IKEA furniture.
Oh, the centre back. Centre back. It's
it's not Hollander.
No, a big left centre back. I can see him. I don't know his name. I'm not asking him.
Out of your misery.
Yeah.
Give his initials.
KS.
Don't know.
Carl Svensson.
No, that wasn't a guy I was thinking about.
Never mind. Thank you, Alex and Gordon. We're back at 6 o'clock tomorrow.